The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Networks.
Hello and welcome to The Doctor Is In with me, Dr. Dinothra Archer-Cartwright. Thank you for joining us tonight for all things health, wellness, and things that pertain to the Bahamian society. Tonight we have an interesting show. We're going to talk about fatigue. It's a really common thing. I always get it inside of the clinic. People ask all the time, why am I so tired? So what could possibly be causing that? What can we do and when to see your doctor? So thanks, everyone, for joining with me. I'm Dr. D. Archer, family medicine specialist here. The show, of course, is brought to you by Medical Concierge Services for all your medical healthcare needs. We do home care as well. So if you need concierge services, anything you need on your home, on your yacht, wherever you are, your hotel, we will come and take care of it. We also do a lot of coordination of care. You can reach us at 326-1521 in our clinic during office hours between 9 and 4 p.m. And also, you can check us on Facebook, Medical Concierge Services, Instagram, Medical_Concierge_Services. Really easy to find. And of course, we have a new WhatsApp line. We had some problems with the last one. So you can reach us at 432-4010. And that's WhatsApp line is really good if you want to send us a message or you want to even sign up with NHI. We can help you with that. So just give us a call and reach out if you need help. Just before we kind of go into our topic, we had a really interesting weekend at Medical Concierge Services. We were able to support the Steve Harvey charity golf competition. And so that was a really great weekend. I personally got to meet Mr. Steve Harvey, and I also met Cedric the Entertainer. So that was very, very interesting time. And a lot of that funds from the charity went to local charities, which was really, really amazing to see. And so, you know, I was really excited about that, to see money going back into the community, also going to our national team. A lot of those, they were out, so I got to see them in action. So we had a really interesting weekend. We were on the golf course on Sunday as well as a part of the event. And so it was really great weather, great people. Everybody enjoyed it. And all the people that came in really said the Bahamas is just really beautiful. So it was amazing. And we had a lot of locals who were also playing on the golf course over on Paradise Island. So it was a good time. And we were glad that we were able to sponsor that and provide funding for a lot of Bahamian charities in need. If you want to see more about that, you can check our Facebook page. We've got pictures and stuff like that. So we try to give back as much as we can. So the question tonight, so we're going to talk a little bit about fatigue. And fatigue is a really, really common topic. So, most people don't know what fatigue is, but you'll hear people come in and they say, I am so tired all the time. I don't know what it is. Doc, what could it be? And there's so many different causes for fatigue that in a lot of cases, if it's not something very common, you should go in and see your doctor. But we're going to go over some of those things, what you should look out for, and when you do need to go in to see your doctor. So fatigue is really just the term we use to describe feeling tired or lack of energy. You know, people say, man, I lack energy. I just feel tired all the time. I go to work, I'm tired and tired. And it's simply feeling drowsy or sleepy. When you're fatigued, you tend not to have any motivation. You lack the energy. Being sleepy may be a symptom, but it's not always the same thing. So you can be naturally sleepy, but you know, fatigue is just kind of like, you can't figure out why. Fatigue is a common symptom of many medical conditions that range in severity from both mild to very, very serious. It is also a natural result of some lifestyle choices and such as lack of exercise or a very poor diet. So if you are fatigued and it doesn't resolve with proper rest and nutrition, or you suspect there's an underlying cause, you got to talk to your doctor. You have to get a mental health check or see what's going on. So we're going to go into it. So there's a lot of different factors. So potential factors are lifestyle, our physical health conditions, as well as our mental health. We're going to talk about the top 12 reasons why you may not have energy. And I'm going to mention some of them that can be a little bit more serious to detect on your own. And you would need probably a doctor to help you with that diagnosis. So feeling fatigue can seriously disrupt your day and reduce your productivity, and is more common than you think. When they looked at studies for both men and women, they found that a lot of people felt sleepy about 3 days out of the week. You may not have any energy, and this might be due to lack of sleep, a poor diet, or lack of exercise, a nutritional deficiency, which is extremely common. We talked about anemia a few weeks back. And it may also be caused by something serious medical condition that you really would have to get checked up. So if you're feeling tired and drained of all your energy, you're basically not alone. There are a lot of people who are feeling this. And the Sleep Foundation says both men and women report feeling sleepy about 3 days per week. Even worse, it's really hard to get things done. So if you're trying to get things done and you're feeling pretty fatigued, you're not going to be very productive. Tiredness can be caused by a variety of factors, including the lack of sleep and or a busy, demanding schedule. So if you're working really hard, then you really kind of expect to be fatigued. However, in some cases, you can still feel tired even after getting adequate rest. And so there are 12 possible reasons why you have no energy. This is the top 12. We'll talk about a few of the ones that are a little bit less common later in the show, and then what you can do. So one that people may not realize, and because we're all in this world of electronics, is using electronics before bedtime. So it really wires you up a lot of the time. And there's a lot of evidence that's growing out there to show that if you use electronics before bed, laptops, computers, or even just watching a lot of television or playing video games, it turns up what we call your fight or flight response, and it keeps you in a state of stress, right? So stress. So you may not be able to sleep due to other reasons as well, due to your blood pressure, your heart rate. After hours of using these electronics, and many devices also emit a blue light, which can affect your biological clock. So it changes the way and the rhythm in which you interpret when you should go to sleep. So there's multiple things that are now being linked to us using our electronics a lot more often. That can be causing people not to have proper sleep patterns, and then leading to fatigue itself. And it basically disrupts your sleep. And you know, a lot of, as you mentioned, electronics, they come with these blue lights or these flashing lights or these lights that do not turn off unless it's unplugged. And so you have to really be careful. And so it's suggested that about 3 hours before you go to bed, you want to turn these electronics off. Okay? So that's number one. Number two, a poor diet. And we talk about diet quite often on the show. But sometimes, you know, you can go the other way. So if you're cutting a lot of calories, if you made drastic changes in your diet, to try to lose weight or a part of some type of program, you have to make sure you're doing this with a doctor, with a nutritionist, to ensure that your intake is adequate. So you need to have adequate nutrition in order to not have severe drains of your energy. It's that are also filled with refined sugars. So if you are on the other side of this and you're eating a lot of simple carbohydrates, you're eating a lot of sugars, you're also going to have quite a bit of fatigue because these sugars are digested quite easily by the body quite quickly. And that's where you get that sugar high and then you get like a low. And so what happens is your energy levels really dip down really, really low. It leaves you feeling really fatigued, really bad. And it is explained. And the Cleveland Clinic actually looked at this and looked at how the sugar rush leads to this decrease in energy overall. So instead, you want to have a more balanced diet, fresh fruits, vegetables, lean proteins, whole grains to keep you fueled throughout the day. And if you think you might have some type of nutritional deficiency, you want to, because there are tests and different things that we can do. And even just through investigating your history and the things that you're doing in your diet, we can usually tell if you have some nutritional deficiency. So that was number two. We mentioned in the intro that mental health can also play a factor in fatigue. And so depression, major depression, is a mental health illness in which can be quite serious. So when people are depressed, it affects how they feel, it affects how they think, and the way that they act. And it could also be the reason why you have no energy. So if it's none of these other reasons, none of the other medical reasons, it could be depression. So it depends on your circumstance and the history around it, and that would lead us to that type of diagnosis. But things like depression are treatable. If you think that you have depression, if you have other symptoms of depression, maybe changes in your diet, not wanting to do the things that you love, worrying a lot, sleeping and still tired, mood changes, lots of other things that go with depression, or even if you've had an event that you didn't quite recover from, you want to come in and you want to reach out for help. And so you want to contact your doctor for diagnosis and discuss what your treatment plan can be, because there's a lot of different things that you can do, from talk therapy and counseling to medication or combinations of both. So a lot of people have gotten over major depressive episodes and they are able to get their energy and their life back, and they respond well to the treatment, as explained by the American Psychiatry Association. So these things can be treated, and depression, even if it's very impactful on your life, can be treated. Okay, one that you don't think about very often, but we as doctors keep an idea of, it's not as commonly talked about, I guess, in regular setting, but sleep apnea is a condition in which you don't really sleep soundly through the night. There's other parameters of your health that are related to this, and it leads to a poor sleep quality. And a lot of people may be suffering silently from sleep apnea, and this condition basically stops you from breathing multiple times throughout the night by disrupting your sleep, and you're not even aware. And what happens is when you're disrupting your sleep, and sometimes you're breathing, you're actually decreasing oxygen to your vital organs. And so there's a lot of spin-offs of different chronic apnea. And it's very difficult for sometimes people to even realize. A lot of people will have someone else tell them, you kind of seem to be having problems breathing whilst you're sleeping. And one of the biggest complications or the biggest signs of sleep apnea is having daytime fatigue. So you'll say, someone says, I go to sleep at night, but when I wake up in the morning, I'm really, really tired. I'm still tired throughout the day. And so sleep apnea could be one of those things that could be causing that problem. And so that is one of the most common complications of sleep apnea, is in fact fatigued. And it can also lead to other health problems like high blood pressure. There's relationships between sleep apnea and diabetes and even heart attacks. So if you think you might be suffering from sleep apnea, you really want to book an appointment and see your doctor. And they would refer you to a special clinic or doing a special test in which they would be able to give you a for sleep apnea. And it, of course, it's treatable in many cases. There are treatment plans and management that can be done. So sleep apnea is one of those you don't always think about. People may not be aware of this particular problem, but it's really related to a lot of chronic disease. And so we keep sleep apnea in mind. So if you feel like you have sleep apnea, definitely one that needs to come in and get that looked at and see what's going on, because there's such a variety of other chronic diseases that are related to having sleep apnea. And it's kind of a chicken and the egg. Is it these diseases that relate to the sleep apnea? Usually it has to do with the foundational problems of not eating properly, being severely overweight, those types of things. And so all those disease processes tend to be linked by inflammation, but sleep apnea does also have effect on oxygenation during your sleep pattern. Thoughts will be linked to having fatigue, in particular hypothyroidism. And that is when the thyroid itself is what we call underactive. So it is not making the amount of hormone that it needs to keep up your energy levels in the body. So in this condition, your gland isn't producing enough hormones. And in the early stages, you may not notice any symptoms at all, but as hypothyroidism gets worse, you may develop a variety of signs such as weight gain, muscle weakness, depression, and most commonly fatigue. So for a lot of our patients, when they come in, especially first-time patients, if they're doing a screening or annual with us, we will probably do a thyroid function test, which gives us an idea of how that thyroid is functioning, because sometimes people's problems are related to these autoimmune things such as thyroid disease, which can be found within certain families at times, or due to inflammation in the body. And that could be what's causing some of the other things. So when you treat the thyroid disease, sometimes you can kind of deal with some of the other problems that may be happening. So we really kind of look at the thyroid, especially with new patients, because it allows us to see if there's something that's treatable that we can do before we just kind of treat you for other things. So those with thyroid disease tend to have a sluggish metabolism, and this may be behind some people having a difficulty losing weight, which leaves them drained of energy and prone to just weight gain over time. So when we suspect a thyroid issue, we definitely come in and get you tested and see what it is, because if it's thyroid, then that treatment is very, very, sometimes when you treat the thyroid, like I mentioned, you can definitely get rid of some of the other issues that you're having, especially if you have unexplained weight gain that's happening to you. We've talked about this other one as it relates to why you have no energy, and that was anemia. We did this topic in more detail a few weeks ago. But anemia is definitely one of the really common reasons that people feel fatigued. And it's really twice as prevalent in our females. So our female patients are the ones who tend to, anemia is kind of on the top of the list. So it's twice as many females tend to be anemic. And we kind of know why, because women menstruate, so they actually lose blood. So for a lot of women, anemia can be a problem. And then for some strange reason, and this is why I really like this topic, because I get so many women in who say, I'm anemic, doc, I'm anemic. And then you ask them, they're not eating foods rich in iron. So it may not always just be their menstruation, but also their diet. And so basically, anemia is when you lack your red blood cells to carry the oxygen to the tissues in the body. And that explains, if you're not properly oxygenating your body, then you're not producing the amount of energy you need. And it could end up that you get quite fatigued. This can also be quite stressful on the heart, and sometimes this can produce additional sounds or rhythms or murmurs in the heart. So when you have really, really bad anemia, it can also affect the way that your heart beats. Because you require oxygen, red blood cells to carry oxygen around the body, and this is what provides the energy for your tissues and your organs. So anemia can be a big one, and there's various causes to why you can be anemic. So it's really important to get that diagnosis, to start incorporating iron-rich foods into your diet, such as shellfish, beans, whole grains, and of course, beef. So a lot of people have thought for quite some time, and I get a lot of people like this. I just had a gentleman that came in the other day, and he was like, oh, I'm just not feeling well. And I was like, you know, I think you really need to add red meat back into your diet. And he was like, oh, doc, I'm so happy. I thought that by not eating any red meat, I was going to be super healthy and stuff like that. And so for a lot of people, if you're not going to eat red meat, you're not going to eat the type of protein that's really rich in iron, you really would have to do that diet specifically hand in hand with a dietitian, because the amount of iron that you get from other things outside of red meat, you require so much of it that sometimes a lot of people become anemic. So what you'll find is a lot of vegetarians, and I'm not knocking them. Some of them know how to do it really well, but a lot of people just jump into, you know, kicking the red meat or getting meat out of their diet. And then they have these deficiencies like iron deficiency, and they're wondering why they're not feeling good, especially because when they first come off of meat, they might feel really, really good, really, really great about themselves. But, you know, life is a balance, and your body's always trying to balance itself off. So after a while, they become iron deficient and they don't feel good anymore. And so I'm not saying go out there and eat like a ton of meat. Small cuts of lean meat are probably going to be more healthy for you than eating lots of meat or no meat at all. So moderate, high quality, you know, meat is kind of expensive these days. So, you know, if you get small cuts or, you know, a little bit in your diet, you tend to be able to get the anemia out of your life. So I've dealt with a lot of people that have suffered with anemia, and we found really good solutions of how to get their blood count back up. And so anemia is one of those things really big when it comes to fatigue, one of the number one reasons. You may not realize it, but diabetes also causes fatigue. And it might be one of those symptoms that leads you into the clinic and you don't realize that you're diabetic, but you're just not feeling well in a sense and don't have that energy. So in the early stages of the condition, many people who suffer from diabetes, they don't even know it. They don't know what's going on in their body, and eventually they start to develop symptoms. And some of the symptoms of type 2 diabetes to be on the lookout for would be increased urination, increased appetite, if you feel thirsty all the time. So an unquenchable thirst is hard to tell in the heat these days. So if you're constantly hydrating, but you still continue to be really thirsty, that's usually, it could be a sign of diabetes. If you have slow healing cuts, and so you get little nicks and you realize it's taking weeks and weeks for them to go away. And sometimes you have to take antibiotics for it to go away, or you have to go to see your doctor often with that. And of course, unexplained fatigue can be linked to being diabetic. So fatigue can develop from high blood sugar complications of the condition. If you think your low energy could be a result of diabetes, of course, you're going to get that checked out in your clinic. But yes, having those high levels of sugar usually makes the cells that travel, including your red blood cells, very sluggish, so they can't do their job. And so diabetes, and this is the danger of diabetes, because it affects so many different aspects of small vessels, large vessels, and organs. that it's just a terrible disease to have, right? But we can manage it. All right, this one you may not realize, but if you're drinking too much caffeine, so a lot of people think caffeine just gives you energy, but if you drink too much, and if you're like me, it doesn't take much caffeine for me to feel very drowsy. So if I drink caffeine in the evening, it actually puts me to sleep. So I'm not a big caffeine drinker. Once in a while, I'll have caffeine in the morning, or, you know, I'm not going to give a plug to that coffee place, but sometimes I stop for a coffee, but I'm not a really, really big, big coffee drinker. And so what you'll find is if you're drinking too much caffeinated teas and coffee, think about teas as much, but yes, because I do drink a lot of tea. Soda, energy drinks, and chocolate, they provide an initial kick you need when you're really tired, they can. However, you can overdo consuming these and end up having too much caffeine in your body. This results in an increase or an acceleration in your heart rate, blood pressure, and ultimately leads to exhaustion. So if you have too much caffeine, it actually causes your heart to work a lot harder. You're basically increasing your blood pressure and you're doing more work on the body, and ultimately you end up being exhausted instead of energetic. Good night online. I see you guys. Thank you for listening. We're talking about fatigue tonight. And we just talked about how drinking too much caffeine can be a part of the problem. And so drinking too much caffeine can lead to sleepiness. It can actually lead to nighttime worry. And it also can cause you to wake up multiple times throughout the night, decreasing your total sleep, and then in turn causing daytime sleepiness. So if you think you're drinking too much caffeine, it may be time to cut back and see if your energy improves. So if you're a big coffee drinker and you realize that you're drinking more and more and more, and you are energy that you did, you may be drinking, in fact, too much, and you need to cut back on your caffeine to get your energy levels back up to normal. This is a big one, especially because it's summertime. It's extremely hot in New Providence. And the Bahamas in general has been extremely, extremely hot summer. And so many of you may have feel fatigued for this particular reason, and that is dehydration. And we all know water is super, super important to our bodies. It just lubricates all your joints. It helps with your kidney function. And it overall, it protects your organs and your tissues and so much more. So it also can play a role in your energy levels. Very quick and simple fix is if you feel fatigued, one of the first things that you can do is to rehydrate and have a drink of water. Not soda or anything else, just pure water. I was so surprised to realize how many people don't drink water. They drink everything but. So start your kids on drinking water early. We live in a really hot country, and dehydration, probably a little bit of mild dehydration, is probably commonly people are walking around a little bit in the brain fog just because they're not properly hydrated. So if you just drink enough water, which is essentially about 8 glasses, so you strive for 8 glasses, you're going to get pretty closer, and you're outside, you may have to drink more water. But if you get dehydrated, it drops your energy levels, and it means that you're not getting adequate fluid intake and that you're losing a lot of the water content that's going in your body. And so remember, if you're drinking sugary drinks, you're probably going to be peeing that out a lot faster, as well as alcohol and anything else. So you really need to drink pure water to properly flush your kidneys, to have really good balance and homeostasis inside your body. And so if your urine is dark, that is a really easy sign to tell you that you're not properly hydrated. Your urine really should be like a light goldish yellow, kind of what we call straw colored, or a little bit lighter. If it's really, really white, then you may be overhydrated. But if it's really dark, then you really need to drink more water. And yes, hot and humid. And so you really need to hydrate, and drink pure water. That's going to be important. Not all that other stuff. I mean, sometimes you feel like drinking some other things, but if it's probably about 80%, 90% water, and then once in a while you have something else, it's probably fine. But really, your base for most of your drinks and go-to should be water. I tend to try to reserve those other drinks for when, you know, I'm at an activity or an event and there's, you know, no one's drinking water, or I'm not, you know, I don't have access to water. So if you do it like that, where you're drinking water all the time, and then those other drinks are just kind of a secondary thing, then you'll find that your hydration is going to be a lot better. This one, we should all know this, because this is related to a lot of different chronic problems, but stress. So if you're too stressed, and all of us receive, you know, have some stress every once in a while, but stress might be the culprit of your low energy levels. If you're chronically stressed, this can lead to stress-related exhaustion disorder, ED. And the sources show that chronic stress may alter your brain in a way that may lead to chronic inflammation. So in turn, this may lead to symptoms of tiredness. Sometimes stress is just unavoidable. And sometimes stress can be a positive thing, because it can help us to work and do things more quickly or in a more efficient manner. But it's hard to not avoid stress. But it's important to manage your stress within your control. So some great ways to relieve your stress are to decompress with breathing exercise. We did a show on breathing on stress. So if you want to go back and look at some of these topics, you can check out our Facebook page and a lot of our videos. But, you know, deep breathing exercises, we went through some of that, any kind of meditation or gentle stretching, as well as going for walks, taking a bath, and kind of figuring out the things that decrease stress in your life. And you want to utilize those things when you are feeling overly stressed, because stress too can lead to fatigue. We're going to go through a couple of more, then we'll probably take a break, and then we're going to talk about some other medical issues that could be causing it, and open the phone lines in case anyone wants to talk. So the next one on our list of 12 of the main reasons that you may have no energy, feeling fatigued, unrested, is just obesity. So just being and not maintaining a healthy body weight can be stressful for your body. And is important for your health for many reasons, from decreasing your risk of certain diseases like heart disease and diabetes to reducing your risk of cancer. Not only do you have a greater chance of developing these illnesses when you're obese, but you may also risk having chronic fatigue. And so chronic fatigue is greatly linked to obesity. So if you've gained a lot of weight recently and you realize that your energy levels have really gone down, this may be one of the things that's causing this. Because what happens is your body is trying to be in equilibrium. You've now gained more weight and you've given your organs more work to do. And so they just simply get fatigued. Maintaining a healthy body weight may also encourage better sleep, as obese individuals have a higher risk of what we talked about earlier, which was sleep apnea. So when you get better sleep, you may be able to help gain. Talk to your doctor and find out what a healthy weight is for you, and look at the steps that you can take to achieve those weight loss goals. So really, really important there, because when you get better sleep, you actually have a better chance of maintaining a proper weight. So when you're not sleeping well, that could be a part of the reason too, that you're kind of gaining weight or having problems with that particular thing. So a lot of these conditions are linked. Okay, we have a comment online. They said that eating seasonal organic fresh foods is a nice thing to do. Definitely, I say take advantage of the fruit and the seasonal fruits. Right now in our house, we are eating guavas and we are eating avocados and we are eating sugar apples. So we do eat those local fruits, especially local fruits, seasonal fruits. Those are really, really good for you. And they make great snacks instead of a lot of other things. So we really enjoy doing those right now for us. And, you know, when the other seasons come, and we're very lucky in this country, we have a lot of really amazing fruit choices. And, you know, they're spread throughout the year. So we've got mangoes, we've got dillies, we've got local tamarinds, so many different things. And all of these things have so many really great nutrients that help us to be balanced in our bodies and give you great energy. Now, don't overdo it because I know people come in and they eat so many mangoes that they have a problem, whatever. But moderately eat these fruits when they're in season. And they can be really helpful. What we find is that things that grow locally usually are the things that you need in your body, the nutrients that are found in your local variety and your seasonal fruits. So don't knock it. Definitely get back into your seasonal fruits, right? And they have so much more taste and flavor. Have you noticed that a lot of the fruit sometimes that you get out of the conventional store, they don't have a lot of taste. They've traveled from very far. Maybe they were not ripe when they came off the tree. And so you're going to get nutrient-dense fruit and vegetables if you get them locally. So I do advise for you to do that. The next one would be when we're talking about our 12 top reasons for fatigue, a sedentary lifestyle. And so we talk about that a lot as well. And it's really hard sometimes and easy to get into a sedentary lifestyle. We are very busy people. We go, and then we get home and we just rest. We also sit at our desk. So like for me, when I was working in the hospital, a lot more active, a lot more walking around and moving than being a family physician, kind of sitting at a desk all day. So I do have to remind myself to get up and do some things and move around because that's a very sedentary lifestyle that is linked to our jobs in the most cases. So most of us sit in an office. We sit in front of a computer screen a lot of times. And so these are all the things that we talked about that are actually not pretty good for us and actually lead to fatigue. So, if you're spending all day sitting, it's easy to go from sitting at a desk all day to sitting on your couch and basically relaxing, watching your favorite shows, and ultimately sitting for very prolonged periods of time. But of course, this can be extremely harmful to your health. And more importantly, dairy can greatly decrease your energy too. So if you think you're fatigued because you're sitting for long periods of time, it's an easy fix. You want to get up, you want to move around at least once an hour. And especially if you are at a desk job, standing up, moving around for even just a few minutes can encourage blood circulation through your body and increase oxygen in the blood. So as a result, the oxygen, the added oxygen will be sent to your brain. And this will increase your alertness. And so sometimes that lack of productivity at the end of the day is just merely from sitting for such a long time. So you want to get up, you want to do some movements. It's really great for your circulation and your brain will love it. All right. So other things that you can do, very important, is getting, of course, adequate exercise. So outside of your space. And even if you do have a very active job, you want to really put some time, set it aside just to do your exercise activities that are going to be really focused on your health. And the Center for Disease Control and Prevention recommends 150 minutes of moderate intensity exercise per week, which can be broken up into intervals of 30-minute workouts 5 times per week. And so getting up off the couch, getting up from our desk, these things can improve our overall circulation and lead to just a better quality of life and less fatigue and and relieve some of the chances of getting those circulatory diseases. Okay. And so we kind of talked about all that stuff. So if you're skipping your workouts, you're going to feel pretty tired. So you don't want to do that. A study from the University of Georgia linked to exercise on a regular basis can actually make you feel more tired. The trick is to devote the 20 or 30 minutes to relatively intense exercises we talked about on a regular basis. And that alone will keep your energy level. So you don't have to go for an hour. You don't have to go for 2 hours. You just need to get out there and do some type of physical activity. And if you keep this as a regular thing, it will boost not just your energy, but it would improve your endurance levels and make your entire body just more efficient. And you won't feel tired anymore. So, you know, give it a try. Usually habits take about 6 weeks. So you want to do anything that you can for about 6 weeks and see how that starts to affect your health. We talked about drinking enough water because you estimate to lose 2% of fluid loss can have a significant impact on your energy and lead to visible reductions in your blood volume. So we're going to avoid that mild dehydration in that way. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about a few other of the medical issues that can be related to fatigue that are going to be much more a problem and may need more extensive workup for you personally. And then we're also going to open the phone lines if you want to join us after the break, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. So we'll be right back on the Doctor's In with me, Dr. D. Archer, in a few moments.
Accelerator Small Business Development Center in Tyre, Bahamas. To better serve you, we've made it easier to contact us. Call 461-7232, WhatsApp 359-0626 or 359-2394, email helpdesk@sbdcbahamas.com or submit a ticket when you visit our help center at accessaccelerator.org. The Access Accelerator, empowering small business.
When faced with an illness like cancer, we band together. And we at Cleveland Clinic in Florida have your back. From advanced cancer treatments to extra safety measures at all of our locations, we're with you on this journey. For every infusion and follow-up, for every step of the way, for every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic in Florida. Get the care you need when and where you need it. To learn more or connect with a local representative, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business, then Jack come after me, and I line up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how does this work?
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll-free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and we could text them. And the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
Thank you.
And welcome back to The Doctor's Inn with me, Dr. Janothra Archer, family medicine specialist and consultant, all things health, wellness, and things that pertain to the Bohemian society. Thank you for joining me this Tuesday evening on Guardian Radio for another interesting show on our health topics. Tonight, we were talking about fatigue, the things that make you fatigue, and some of the things to look out for and how do we treat those things. So we realized that fatigue basically has a lot of potential causes. They can be lifestyle related, they can be physical health conditions, or they can be linked to our mental health. So if you're experiencing fatigue, your activities or other lifestyle choices could be the root. Some of the things that we looked at was a lack of physical activity, physical exertion, lack of sleep, being overweight or obese, periods of emotional stress, boredom, grief. If sometimes it can even be related to some medications or sedatives. One we didn't talk about, but is also something to consider if you're using alcohol or using it very regularly, any illicit drugs such as cocaine, assuming too much caffeine and not eating a nutritious diet. I'm just going to give the line numbers one more time. So if you want to jump in, if you have a comment, concern, or question, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4296. Definitely. And so, and then when we talk about our physical health conditions, there is a plethora, some that we weren't even able to cover today. We'll just go through the list of them in case you want to just look some of those up or come in and talk to your doctor about it. We spoke to anemia, which is one of the top causes, but also persons with any kind of inflammatory disease, such as arthritis, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome. Infections such as colds and flu can also be a background for kind of acute fatigue. Persons with Addison's disease, and this is related to different hormone levels. Hypo and hyperthyroidism, which is the underactivity of the thyroid gland. Sleep disorders such as insomnia. Eating disorders such as anorexia. Other autoimmune disorders, congestive heart failure. A lot of people with congestive heart failure feel really tired because the heart is what pumps oxygen to the blood via the red blood cells. Cancers. So, you know, if you have a history of cancers in your family, you want to get that screening done because one of the symptoms could just be fatigue. Diabetes, which we spoke about, chronic kidney disease. People also get very tired and sometimes they have some nutritional issues. And then toxins do build up in their blood as well. Liver disease, which also has a lot to do with detoxification inside of the body. And that's why for a lot of my patients, I do recommend IV glutathione because that's very good for detoxification. Chronic obstructive pulmonary disease and emphysema, which are lung, make it difficult to get the required oxygen into the lungs and then, of course, into the blood and to circulate around the body. So all of these things can lead to chronic fatigue without you really realizing the connection with them. So you want to get those checked out. And of course, we talked about our mental health issues, such as depression, but there's other ones such as anxiety and seasonal affective disorder. And so these also are very common to have symptoms of fatigue being a part of some of our mental health issues. So you do want to get that screening done. So when should you come and see your doctor? Well, you should make an appointment with your doctor if you are feeling fatigue. So if you really feel like there's a difference going on and you don't kind of know why, sometimes it's very difficult to navigate what these causes may be. Just sit down with your physician because, you know, we are trained to do that. So if you can't think of anything that might be causing your fatigue, nothing is coming up to you, you want to come in. If you're having a higher than normal body temperature, of course, you want to be screened and make sure that it's not some type of acute illness that's causing the problem. If you've experienced any unexplained weight loss, so if you're losing weight and you don't know why, you didn't change your diet, you're not doing anything particular, but it's all dropping off. There can be various things, thyroid disease, diabetes, all could be related, and see, these also come with fatigue. If you find that you've been very sensitive to either cold temperatures or hot temperatures, it is well to thyroid disease and you want to come in. If you're having trouble falling asleep or staying asleep, there are a variety of causes that we talked about, from insomnia to caffeine to just your basic routine. And, you know, sitting down and kind of going through the history really usually helps us to kind of feel out what would be the problem and how would we treat that. And if you believe that you have depression, then you should also really kind of seek out help. If you made an effort to address your fatigue and you looked at the most common lifestyle causes, such as lack of rest or your eating habits or stress, and without success, you aren't able to kind of figure it out, and this continues to happen for about 2 weeks or more, you really should make that appointment. Comment online, it says, Dr. D, it's true that chronic diseases are just years of unhealthy eating and hereditary. So usually these chronic diseases are a mixture of your genetic makeup and your environment or what you do. Your genetics does play a role, but it's usually a smaller role to what you are doing in your life. So your lifestyle, unhealthy eating, not being active, that is really the root cause for a lot of chronic diseases. And because you hear people say, well, my dad, my mom had hypertension, so I had it. Usually, it isn't even the genetics, because you'll have other children in the family that don't have these things. And it's really because a lot of times what I realize is that people pass on their lifestyle to their kids. So if you look at like maybe even a kid that's really, really obese, you'll find that the family is struggling with weight issues. And so they're setting that kid up to probably be more prone to having hypertension and diabetes. Is it really their genetics, or is it the lifestyle that they're passing on? And you'll find that that's really what it is in many, many cases. There are some familial genes that are passed on, and they may even make you more prone to certain things, such as some people have genetic predisposition to having increased cholesterol. It's just really hard. A lot of people from Indian cultures and different places, and you'll see heart disease and those things. But then still, it's kind of linked to their diets as well. So it's like, it's a bit of both, but it's more so what you do than what you're made of, okay? So you can, as Bahamian say it, reverse the generational curse by doing something completely different, because you don't get 100% of your mother's DNA and you don't get 100% of your dad's DNA. You're getting a 50% from both parents. So you are a completely new and different human being. And yes, there is some genetic component to it, but a lot of the things that you do in terms of diabetes, hypertension, and all of these things are really quite related to what you're doing. And you can manage them, even if you're predisposed, a lot of them can be managed by lifestyle if you're willing to make the type of sacrifices that it requires. So we have patients who have been able to come off of medication, even when they have a family history of diabetes, doesn't mean that you have to be a diabetic on medication for the rest of your life. But we get the most success when there's early intervention. So either, you know, we push the preventative so you don't want to end up on medication. And if you do find out that you have an early diagnosis, you want to really get in an aggressive program, because a lot of times if you're just a newly diagnosed diabetic or hypertension, me personally as a doctor, I can probably get you off of medication. Now, the longer you're hypertensive and not diabetic and you are taking medication, the chances of you being able to reverse all of that becomes a lot, lot harder. So if you're going to do the lifestyle modifications, you want to start super, super early. Okay, we've got a few more minutes. And so Yeah, so lack of rest, poor eating habits, stress. Those tend to be some of the really big things that lead to chronic fatigue and a lot of these chronic illnesses in general. And it can be some really other serious medical conditions too. We'll just go over them quickly before we run out of time. That can cause fatigue. And these are the ones that you wanna go to the emergency room or the hospital right away. So if you're having rectal bleeding, if you're vomiting blood, if you have severe headaches on top of this, like the worst headaches you've ever had, if you're having pain, severe pain in your chest area, especially chest pain, and that threshold is really, really low for diabetics. If you're feeling faint or you do lose consciousness, if you're known to have an irregular heartbeat, if you find that you are short of breath, that can be a sign of really severe anemia or lack of oxygenation. If you're having severe abdominal pain or pelvic pain, for people who are struggling with mental health, if you're having thoughts of suicide or self-harm, then you want to go straight to the emergency room. You want to go straight to the hospital because those are life-threatening, serious medical conditions, and you need to be seen right away and be treated because there can be some stuff going on that you're not aware of inside your body, and you need testing and proper scans and to be treated appropriately. And so your doctor is going to ask you quite a few things about when it started, about other symptoms that might be related, any medical conditions that you may have. We'll talk about your lifestyle and the sources of any stress. And of course, we look at the medications that you're taking to ensure that, you know, those are not the problem. So if you suspect you have an underlying medical condition causing you to have fatigue, you really need to go in and get those medical tests done and see exactly what it is, get your blood, get your urine, and go from there. And so healthy eating, exercise, get enough sleep, know your stressors, avoid social or work schedules that are overly demanding, and you want to take part in relaxing activities whilst abstaining from alcohol, tobacco, and other illicit drugs. You do those things and you live a pretty good life. And so we've come to the end of the show. I want to thank everyone online and on Guardian Radio for listening tonight to The Doctor Is In with me, Dr. D. Archer, brought to you by Medical Concierge Services. We'll talk to you next week, same time, same place, Tuesday at 7:30 on Guardian Radio. Thank you for my online viewers. Thank you, Guardian Radio. Good night.